Today's reading is from John 21, verses 1 to 14, which is Jesus and the miraculous catch of fish. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. And going out to fish, Simon Peter told them, and they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not recognize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153, but even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to be with you, not in person, of course, but certainly in spirit. And I just pray that the message that I bring this morning will be of some comfort to you in these times, these difficult times that we're going through at the moment. And my prayer is indeed that we might all be uplifted and encouraged. The message comes from John's Gospel. It's chapter 21 and verses 1 to 15. Now, it's interesting to note that in John's Gospel, he seems to end the whole Gospel in chapter 20, verse 31. Just listen to this. He says, "Because of the things that are written," that's all of the gospel that's gone before, "because of these things that are written, you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you will have life in all its glory. You will have life in his name." End of gospel. He seems to end there. Chapter 20. But in fact, it's as if he said, "Hold on a minute, I've got so much more I'd like to say. So many more things I'd like to tell about Jesus." And then he goes on to write an add-on, if you like, chapter 21. And that's the passage we're going to be looking at. You know, someone once said to me, many good preachers pass a lot of good stopping points. What can they mean? I think it's true, but you see, there's always so much more that we can say about Jesus. Anyway, let's see what more John had to say to us about Jesus in chapter 21 and verses 1 to 15. The first thing I found in this gospel, in this passage, sorry, in this chapter, is darkness. We can relate straight away to this passage. Darkness. Darkness surrounded them in a heavy way. It was a dark morning. Although the sun had risen, casting its golden glow, if you like, across the Galilean landscape, the disciples were in darkness. They'd fished all night and found no fish in their nets. They hadn't caught a thing. In a sense, it must have been the last straw for them, because they had a terrible time this past week or so with one thing and another. It's been dark in their lives since Thursday on the Mount of Olives. It's been dark since Good Friday and the Mount of Crucifixion. And it's been dark all the way through the Saturday with the sort of ghostly calm and quiet and silentness of that day, into the garden tomb, Joseph's tomb, where he was laid to rest. There was darkness in their lives, and there was darkness in their situation, dark with depression, dark with disappointment, and the things hadn't turned out the same as they wanted them to, the way they wanted them to, dark with regrets, dark with bereavement and sadness. This was their friend, and he's now died. It was a terrible, terrible time. Dark with Judas's betrayal and Peter's denial. They are in darkness. And I see Peter's wish to go fishing and the disciples' wish to go with him as a sort of sign, if you like, of how they're feeling. I think they're totally fed up and depressed and down. I think Peter's cry, "I'm going fishing," sort of sums up how he's feeling. "I'm going back to the way I was. I'm going back to what I used to do. I'm going back on God. I'm not going to follow forward anymore with this God that I believed in. I've had enough. I'm giving up. I'm going back. I'm going fishing." In challenging times, everyone, we can often feel like this. Feel like we want to give up on all sorts of things, all sorts of ways, but to give up on God, who you sort of trust and you believe in and you hope for. And it's so easy to go against that in times of trouble, when things go wrong and prayers are not answered, it seems, and things are not happening in the way that you wish they would or you thought they would. You follow the God you believe in, the resurrected Lord, but still there's darkness. But you see, faith is no good if it's only good for the good times. Faith is faith in the hard times, when it gets you through, it keeps you persevering, it encourages you to keep going. Faith is faith in the dark times. That's when we really need it. That's when it's all we have. Sometimes it's all we have. It's hard. It's natural to feel like this when we feel so surrounded by disasters and sadnesses, sorrows. I don't want to watch the news, do you, anymore? I don't want to see the news broadcasts of people dying, hospital full, and NHS care workers battling. I don't want to see this. I don't want to be part of this, but we are. We're within it. It's terrible times we're going through. I emphasize it because it's where God can really work in the dark times. It's where his light can shine even brighter than it's ever shone before. And I believe with all my heart that's what will happen. You see, the second thing I found in this particular chapter, yes, it was dark, but there was a light that shone from the edge of darkness, a light shining from the edge of this darkness, calling out to his friends from the beach, from the shoreline. He called out to them. He said, "Friends," that was his name for them, that was his pet name for them. "Friends, have you caught anything?" And of course, it wasn't really a question because he knew they hadn't caught anything. It was more a concern, wasn't it? "Haven't you caught anything?" A concern for their situation and for the predicament they're in. You know, God is concerned. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. With our predicament, with our situation. He wants to help us. He wants to help us. And what does he say to them? He says, "I know what. Why don't you throw your nets on the other side?" Not on the side that you've been fishing all night with. You're on the right side. The right side. Not the wrong side. The right side. Throw your nets in there and see what happens. And of course, well, you could imagine they probably didn't think it was worth doing. They've been up all night trying to fish. And here was a stranger, because they didn't really realise at that time that it was Jesus. There was a stranger on the beach trying to tell them how to fish. But still they obeyed. Still they agreed to do what he'd asked them to do, what he told them to do. And, you know, when we obey God, you know, to be kind and to be good to people and to be helpful and to be servants and to follow him with trust and with great faith, when we obey his call to follow him and to be like him, he can perform miracles, you know. Obedience leads to miracles happening. And so they agree, they throw their nets on the other side, and straight away a miracle happens. And the fish swarm into the net, and they pull it in and they haul it up, and the net doesn't break. They get to the beach, they haul it up the beach, the net's still not breaking. We're told that there was 152 fish in the net. Now, scholars tell us that that's a symbolic number. John's gospel always works on several levels. And this level has gone a little deeper because he's had lots of time to reflect. He's writing a long time after the events, and he's looked back and thought about it. And he's looking at another level here. And scholars tell us that the 152, the 152 fish, is the different types of fish that are in the sea. And that the church will draw in all these different types of people to be members and to be leaders and to be followers. And the net, it doesn't break. I'm getting excited about this because this is so positive. The net does not break. There's a light that shines in the darkness, you know? And the darkness has never overcome it. It's never destroyed it. So the net doesn't break, full of all sorts of different kinds of people. Wonderful symbolism. Jesus calls from the edge of darkness into our situation with a remedy for that situation. He will make it better. And then what does he do? Well, we find now, in the third sort of point that I have, we find now a real reality to the resurrection that we speak about so often, especially at Easter. There's a reality about this scene, if you like. He says, guys, come and have breakfast. Come and have breakfast. You know, there's no fireworks. There's no spectacular celebration. No great music coming from heaven. No tons of angels flooding down. Nothing like that. He just says, come and have breakfast. Come, sit with me. Let's talk together. Let me try and answer some of your questions that I'm sure you must have and that we do, don't we? We all have. Of course, not all of those questions will get answered. We live by faith. But some of those questions we need answers to, and Jesus can do that. God can do that. He can show us new ideas, new ways. And I wonder, you know, sometimes about the casting the net on the other side, whether it's sometimes good for us to look at situations like we're in at the moment from a different angle, you know, from a different perspective perhaps, and see a different way through, maybe a more positive thing. It's so hard, isn't it, to stay positive in these days, but maybe we should be casting our nets on the other side a bit and seeing a different idea, a different angle, a different perspective as individuals and as church. I've been amazed at the way the church has supplied us, if you like, with our online worship every Sunday. And it's been so good. You know, it's been so invigorating. It's so full of bright ideas and different people and the way they've put it together, and it's gone down line, it's come on live. I mean, I'm no technology person. I don't know about these things very much at all. You need to see my iPhone. No, I haven't even got an iPhone. It's just a Nokia phone. I'm amazed, and I would be, but it's so clever. And maybe this is a way of doing things in a different way. Casting our nets on the other side. I don't know, but I do. I'm sure that God will get us through, and there'll be new things we've learned and things we'll do in the future that have been different for what we've done in the past. There was a reality to that meeting on the beach. They met with Jesus. This is true. These are eyewitness accounts of Jesus' resurrection. John was there. He wrote the gospel. He wrote this extra passage, this extra chapter. He was there. He knew it. He wouldn't lie. He wouldn't write a load of rubbish and make up some sort of story. He was there. He was real. It was real to him. This is the reality of the resurrection, the eyewitness accounts that we have in the scriptures. It's wonderful to know that when we feel like giving up. You know, this is not about fishing. I'm nearly finished. Not about fishing. They never went back to fishing. This is about God carrying on to completion what he's begun. Do you know that passage in Philippians? That great passage which says this. Let me read it. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. That's what Jesus was doing on the beach with these people. That was God working his purposes out, his wonders to perform. And they went on, they never became fishermen again. They went on to preach the gospel. They went on in their ministry. And the church grew and grew and grew. And the light of Christ has never been extinguished throughout the centuries. Isn't this wonderful? Isn't this good news for Easter and after Easter and forever? Isn't this wonderful? This is great stuff. Really good. I love being a Christian. It's so good to have faith in the dark times. And they are real, aren't they, the dark times? Will they be gone soon? Well, I hope so. I really do. But they really are. They really are gone quickly. We need patience. We need endurance. We need perseverance. We need love and care in the community for each other and for everyone. Everyone. We need to keep going. But God will do this. God will make this better. I believe it with all my heart. All my heart. God will make it better. You see, let me finish with this. Preachers have got to learn good stopping points. God is not in isolation like we are. God is not locked down. He's risen. He's alive. Praise the Lord, he's alive. He is risen. God gives us a light unto the darkness. God gives us a light to carry us into the future. All will be well. All will be well. Well, is that a good stopping point, I think? There's more to come. There's always more to say. But I think I need to stop so that you might reflect, so that you might think over what you've heard this morning and perhaps pray. Well, not perhaps. Let's pray. Let's pray. Father God, would you bless us in all this darkness that we're going through at the moment? Will you keep us safe? Will you help us? And help us to help others, I pray, Lord. Bless us. And help us to respond to you if we feel like we've gone back to what we used to be. Help us to respond, to meet you again on the beach, to be fed by you in our lives. Help us, Lord, I pray, that we might know your blessing even in these days. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.